I have told you last time, similarity, that was one example I gave you, similarity. When two things appear to be similar to each other, now all similarities depend upon comparison. Unless you compare one with the other, you cannot decide whether it's similar or not. Now comparison is done by what? That is the question. By what means do you compare? According to Plato, you cannot compare by senses. Your senses can only perceive an object as it is, but your senses cannot compare one with the other. Take for example, how do you compare sound and color? Sound is judged by the ear, and color is judged by the eye. Now, by what sense organ do you compare color and sound? Sound only hears, eye only sees. By what sense do you compare? Is there any sense by which you can compare sight with hearing? It is something that is not sense. Or there is a deeper sense in us. In Indian philosophy, it is called the mind. Not the sense, not the sense organs. It is the mind which compares. They say mind is a sixth sense. It is not, the senses are compared by an inner sense, which is the mind, which is not outer sense. It is the inner sense. So, according to Plato, wherever there is comparison, this comparison is not done by perception. Now, comparison is important for knowledge. You cannot have true knowledge without capacity to compare. So, first is the comparison. Then knowledge of existence. I told you last time that you see normally objects which are existing. But how do you perceive existence itself? For that you require to go beyond senses. It is by rational capacity that you perceive existence. And third is the understanding of number. Now, understanding of number is a very peculiar thing. You all have learned arithmetic, maybe algebra, maybe you have studied what is called mathematics itself, higher mathematics. In fact, mathematics is a science of numbers. And the question is, what is number? I don't know if you ever have reflected the question, what is number? We know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These are called numbers. But how do you know what is 2? Except that one object and second object are put together, but on this object and this object, nobody has written 2. So by sensation, you don't get idea of 2. It is because these two objects are put together, you call it 2. But supposing these objects were put separately, then you would not have called them 2. This is one object, this is another object. Both are 1, 1. When you put them together, now you say it is 2. But the word 2 is not written on anything. It's not that you perceive 2 anywhere. What you perceive is this object and that object, that is all. If the same object is now put along with a third object, then you now say it is 3. The same thing is now called 3. When it was only with this, you call it 2. Now if you put a third thing, now the same thing becomes now 3. All three together is 3. This was the theory of Pythagoras, who came much before Plato. According to Pythagoras, numbers are known not by senses, but directly by the reason. If the reason understands, what is threeness, what is two-ness, what is fourness, what is five-ness. So the knowledge of number, the knowledge of existence and comparison, these three things are not learned by senses. We may use senses to begin with, but when you reflect upon them, you find that they are not perceived by senses. Similarity, I told you, comparison between color and sound, neither your ear makes that comparison nor your eye makes that comparison, because eye can only see and ear can only hear. But what is it that compares the sound and hearing? It must be something else other than the eye and the ear. That which is something else is more than the senses. Similarly, the knowledge of existence. You see this object existing or that object existing. But existence as such, what is existence as such? What is it to exist? This you perceive, you conceive, not perceive, but you conceive. As I told you, existence cannot be perceived, it can be conceived. Comparison cannot be perceived, comparison can only be conceived. Number cannot be seen, the number is only conceived. These are three examples which Plato takes to show you that there is a kind of a knowledge by conception, not by perception. And he says, perception is not knowledge, it is conception which gives you knowledge. We speak, for instance, of two things being unequal. But this presupposes an ideal of equality, which is not derived from perception. Since there are no two things exactly equal to each other. This is also a very good example. We very often feel you take two objects and measure them exactly equal. And you feel that by seeing two equal things, we have got the idea of equality. But what you are seeing is one object and the other object. By what means are you comparing? How do you arrive at the idea of equality? It is something which is perceived, which is not perceived, but which is conceived in the mind. We know, for instance, that color is different from sound. But there is no sense organs which can perceive both. But there is no sense organ, you omit the letter S, it is a misprint here. But there is no sense organ which can perceive both. There must therefore be a faculty higher than sense organs which is capable both of perceiving things directly without any aid or sense organs, as well as of making use of sense organs. Moreover, an essential object of knowledge is existence. And this we do not perceive, again this is a misprint, the D is to be omitted, as this we do not perceive by sense organs. It is the mind which directly reaches existence. Plato concludes that perception is not knowledge, because it has no part in apprehending truths, since it has none in apprehending existence. Senses do not give you knowledge, because senses do not give you the knowledge of existence, and knowledge of existence is knowledge and not perception. Therefore, he says that perception is not knowledge. Now we shall very quickly read again this paragraph, because it's a very important paragraph. What is written in this paragraph can remain with you throughout your life, because very briefly it gives you the whole basis of an idea of what is called pure reason. As I told you, human beings are supposed to be rational beings. We are rational because we make use of reason. And if anybody says, what is reason, then the best answer that you can give is this paragraph. So, to be a human being is to be rational. To be rational is to understand what is reason. And to understand what is reason, you should know the answer by reading this paragraph. So, it is one of the most important things that we have been told by Plato, so we repeat it. Particulars are, according to Plato, the objects of perceptions. And perception, he contends, is not knowledge. In his dialogue Theaetetus, he points out that comparison, knowledge of existence and understanding of number are essential to knowledge, but they cannot be perceived by senses. We speak, for instance, of two things being unequal, but this presupposes an ideal of equality, which is not derived from perception. Since there are no two things exactly equal to each other, we know, for instance, that color is different from sound, but there is no sense organ which can perceive both. There must therefore be a faculty higher than sense organs which is capable both of perceiving things directly without any aid or sense organs, as well as of making use of sense organs. Moreover, an essential object of knowledge is existence, and this we do not perceive by sense organs. It is the mind which directly reaches existence. Plato concludes that perception is not knowledge because it has not part in apprehending truth, since it has none in apprehending existence. This paragraph you may have to read again, not only now, maybe after 5 years, again after 10 years. I have been reading year after year, and very often it is a very good exercise of the mind to be reminded that when you try to understand what is reason, these examples are of direct use. So you'll make use of these examples again and again, and you'll reflect upon them again and again. Now, that which the higher faculty perceives directly is, according to Plato, the essential and universal element in the particular. When you see a particular, as I told you yesterday, every particular has got in it universals. When you say this cat is black, you are seeing two universals, cattiness and blackness. Without apprehending these two universals, you could not make a statement, this cat is black. You must understand what is cattiness, then only you can say this cat. Unless you know what is cattiness, you cannot say this cat. And you cannot say this is black unless you know what is blackness. So whenever you see any particular, every perception of particular involves a perception of universal. And to be very precise, you should say every perception of the particular involves conception of universal. Universal is not perceived but is conceived. So whenever you see any particular, any perception of the particular implies conception of the universal. This element he calls the idea or the form. The universal element he calls the idea or the form. Pertaining to each characteristic of a particular thing, there is universal idea, by participating in which the particular thing is what it is. According to Plato, particulars are copies of the universal. This cat or that cat is a copy of universal cat. Universal idea of the cat.